Let's get into our text, Romans chapter 8. Let's get into our text. We had a little bit of review of last week, so now we are ready to get into our text for this week, Romans chapter 8, as we continue on with the glorification part. Now, again, I understand the very traditional way of understanding glorification is when Christ comes again. You know, glorification happens after the resurrection, at the second coming, and when the corruptible puts on the incorruptible. I understand that, but I believe that we tend to focus, as theologians, we tend to focus on the physical aspect of being perfect. But God isn't looking for the physical aspect of perfection. That's not what he's most concerned about. What he's most concerned about is the inward perfection. God is he's wanting to work on the inside out. The last part, the icing on the cake, is the physical body. But the part that lasts forever, it's on the inside. That's why when he sees the man in Mark chapter 2, he says to him first, your sins are forgiven you. He didn't heal the man of his physical disease. He said, your sins are forgiven you, because that's the healing that leads to life evermore. So chapter 8, as we continue on, listen to what the Word of God says in verse 18 of chapter 8. Verse 18, it says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed where? In us. And it says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be what? Liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. I love this stuff. Verse 23, not only so, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have called us again to a place of learning, a place of enlightenment, a place where we can come to know you for who you are. Father, we want to make sure that we are in your body, that we are adopted, that we understand the adoption. Father, we want to experience you. This can only happen with your presence. So, Father, be with us here this moment in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 27. As you're turning there, I want to recognize Dr. and Mrs. M that are here from Battle Creek, Michigan. Why don't you just stand? They are the parents of a few of our new members who have been attending. We thank you so much for being here. So chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27, and this is David speaking here. What I want to do is I want to illustrate some of the truths that we've been preaching in this series on justification, sanctification, and glorification. I know those sound a bit heavy and weighty. They're really not. They're just words. But we really want to see this stuff lived out and understand it clearly. Chapter 27, verse 1, it says, but David thought to himself, one of these days I will be what? Destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing I can do is escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. This, just in case you were not aware, is David. This is the little boy David. This is the David that was was a man after God's own heart. This is the David where God says, I look on the inside and not on the outside as man looks. This is the same David that knocked out Goliath. This is the same David whose head was anointed to be the future king of Israel. This same David came up with the very bright idea that he would be destroyed no matter what God had said to him, regardless of the prophecy that God had placed upon his life, that he would be the king of Israel, the future king of Israel, he said, it's not going to happen. I do not trust God's word. One day, Saul will destroy me. The best thing I can do is to run to the Philistines for protection. so that Saul will give up looking for me. This is David. Do you know that when it comes to sin, the problem with us sinning is not the act. It's what precedes the act. And what precedes the act is simply this: we do not trust God. We don't trust you. We don't trust you with our lives. We don't trust you with our happiness. We don't trust you with our future. We do not trust you. So the best thing for me to do is to hook up with Stacy. The best thing for me to do is shack up with Mark. The best thing for me to do is to cheat on my taxes, because God, you do not have a storehouse. The best thing for me to do is not to give a faithful tithe. The best thing for me to do is to scream at you and yell at you and call you names. The best thing for me to do is to not forgive you. I would rather live with my enemy than trust my eternal friend. That's what it is. You think at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it was simply about taking a bite? No. She trusted the serpent. She trusted what the serpent said about her. You aren't like God. I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. I'm not. But if you take this fruit, if you act now for $19.99, you can get this, and I will throw in, if you call now within the next 5 minutes, I will throw in another fruit for your man. So she trusted in the serpent. You want to know what Adam's sin was? Oh, Adam's sin wasn't so much that he ate the fruit. Adam's sin was that he didn't trust that God could work it out. He didn't trust that God could be Eve's savior. He said, I'll be the savior. I'll jump in for her. You going down, honey? It's romantic. I'm going down with you. It's always a lack of trust. You like getting high? Because you cannot trust God with getting you through your grief and your pain. I said it before, I'll say it again. Happy people don't get high. They don't. When I get high, I'm able to not think about things anymore. I'm not stressed out as much. You know, everything seems okay. Everything seems okay. It'd be different if we like made everything okay. It was like Puff the Magic Dragon, and the Magic Dragon could like make everything right in your life, but it doesn't work. It gives you the appearance that things are better, but they're not better. And let me tell you something. Everything the devil throws your way is an illusion. And he tempts you to be and to get what you already have. That's why Paul is saying in Romans, I can't wait. Nature itself, creation itself is waiting for something to happen on the inside. It's waiting for that inside to work its way to the outside, because you are a child of God. You just don't act like it. You don't live like it, and you don't believe it, but it's inside of you. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. So the enemy tempts Adam and Eve to be like God when they already were like God. How do you get tempted to be what you already are? That's how foolish we are. If you have this, then you really will have peace. You have already been given peace. You just didn't know it. You've already been given the gifts. What did we talk about last week? We said that God does not wait for us to adorn ourselves before he accepts us. We read in Ezekiel 16 that while we were drowning in our own blood, where our cord had not been cut, He found us. He cleansed us. He washed us up. That's what sanctification is a part. You don't know that, right? Sanctification is that cleansing. See, the first part is justification. It's God canceling out our debt. It's God saying, I know what everyone else says that you owe. I know everyone else says that you're not deserving, but I call you innocent. I say you're not guilty. That's justification. That's a legal matter. Then the sanctification part is the cleansing part. He cleanses us. God takes the responsibility to wash us up. He says, I washed you, I cleansed you, and then I adorned you. And the woman did nothing in Ezekiel 16 to deserve it. It's what the master wanted to give. It's what her future husband wanted to give. He didn't wait for her good works. And so what's beautiful about this family is that God has already given us what we desire. We just don't know it. Now, some of you, I've talked with a few people that say, but Pastor, you know, your idea of glorification sounds a whole lot like sanctification. But again, now listen, justification is the legal matter, not guilty. Sanctification is the part where God is doing the cleansing. He's washing you of your sins. That's what it means to set apart. That's Ezekiel 36, 25. I will sprinkle you with what? Clean water and wash you from everything that has ever what? Defiled you. That's the stuff that's God working in you. It's you being convinced. It's you being convicted. Well, I don't know. Is that really bad? Really, Lord? Should I really not do this? And it's the Holy Spirit working on your heart. And finally, you get it. It snaps. Lord, you are right. Now I am ready to live out what you have designed for me. And then you go to glorification. Now, the sanctification part, it's a little messy. It's a little dirty. And it can be a little embarrassing. You remember our story in Zechariah chapter 3? Zechariah is about to be, he's being condemned by who? Who is Zechariah being, Joshua the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3. Joshua the high priest in Zechariah chapter 3 is being condemned by who? By Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren, right? He's accusing him, you dirty, messed up person, right? His clothes are soiled. And what does the angel of the Lord say? May the Lord condemn who? You, Satan, may the Lord condemn you. This man is like a stick, like a brand snatched from the fire. So he snatches him out of the fire. That's the justification part. Now, here is Joshua in filthy clothes, standing before the judge, standing before God. And what happens? The Bible tells us that by God's command, they begin to give him new clothes. They change him in the presence of the judge. They didn't even give him a changing room. Right there before everybody, they begin to wash him up and clean him. That's the sanctifying part. That's God setting you apart. In fact, that's God adopting you into his family. It's God calling you a son. It's God calling you holy, even though you weren't holy. It's God calling you friend, even though you were an enemy. It's God setting you apart as being special. Now, you know, when we were growing up, it's not to pick on my grandma again, but when we were growing up, we loved going to our grandparents' house. It was the highlight of our year, Christmas vacation and sometimes summer vacation. And when we would arrive at home, we always had new things waiting for us. New slippers, new pajamas, new what we call Sabbath clothes, just the dress clothes. You saw we were rocking it. We had those new clothes. All right, and all that stuff my grandmother made and had on the back, made by Anna Henderson. She has her whole new clothing line. It's going to come out next year. So we loved it, but there was one part of the experience that was always awkward being at the grandparents, and that is when it came to bathing. Now, Grandma and Granddad didn't quite trust us with the water. Now, back at home, we'd fill that tub up until we could swim in it, bring all our toys in it. No, not with the grandparents. In fact, they didn't want to waste any water at all. So they throw me and my brother in the bathtub together. And then they would fill it up about like 3 inches. So everything was really just like too exposed. And they didn't think we really could wash ourselves. Now, mind you, we were like 7 and 8 years old. So they began to wash us. And I remember it was always the awkward moment of going to Grandma's house. It's like, all right, boys, it's time for bath. I had to see my brother. He had to see me. It was just weird. But sanctifying gets a little messy and dirty sometimes. You expose yourself. You have to put your stuff out there, and it's difficult because you like to hide it. You like to pretend nothing's wrong with you. But God is saying, let me clean you. Let me do it in my presence. You don't have anything that I haven't seen. I've created it. You have anything to hide from me. I know it. Just be real with me. Let me put on new clothes. Let me wash you. Let me fix you up. And most of us, family, believe that that is supposed to be the existence of our life here on earth. That is its entirety. That all we have to do all throughout our lives is just stay in that little bath water being cleansed, feeling weird and awkward. And God wants to move us past that stage. He said, I'm willing to trust you. I'm going to let you pick out your own outfit. I'm going to let you pick out your own shoes. I believe that you have been convicted, that you understand where I am on this matter. I believe that my spirit is in you, and now you can glorify me. So you can walk out that house with a little bit more confidence because the spirit of the living God is at work inside of you. And family, most of us need to reach this stage. Stop acting like children. God is still working on me. Get over this. You've already been convinced your ways are messed up. Why are you still wallowing in that little bathwater? So David, he's now living with the enemy. For 18 months, he's with the enemy. He's murdering people in nearby towns and villages so he could have what they have. King Achish, who is one of the Philistine kings, one of five, considers David to be one of his personal bodyguards. Listen to what King Achish has to say about David. Check this out. Verse 12 of chapter 27. Verse 12. Achish trusted David. This wicked king trusted this man of God, trusted David, and said to himself, he has become so odious to his people, so disenchanted, so felt so disenfranchised, so disgusted, so angry with his people, that what? That he will become my servant forever. Do you know that most of us live our lives in this stage? We're so angry with God. We're so angry with the church. I'm so angry with the way my parents raised me. If they just didn't shove that stuff down my throat, I would be a Christian today. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Some of you are here at church because it's still a part of your programming. Thank you, Grandma. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Some of you are here because they instilled something inside of you, and you woke up this morning and you said, oh, I guess I should go to church. I don't even really know why, but something's telling me I need to go. Something was programmed inside of you. Stop trying to blame your parents for who you are today. If they messed up and they didn't do right by you and they could have done it better, well, guess what? You know what? We all make mistakes. We're not perfect, you know. But here's the thing, you know better now. So what's your excuse? Mommy and daddy's getting in the way now? Oh, we just love being rebellious. We think it's still cool. David thinks he's cool. I'm with the Philistines now. And they think it's cool to have David. This is the guy that knocked KO'd Goliath in the first round. He's on our squad now. Now check this out. There is now a battle that's about to ensue. Israel against the Philistines. And guess which side David's going to fight on? Wow. Philistines. That's how he rolls. Ouch. I'm with the world on this one. What is he saying by these actions? I don't trust who? I don't trust you, God. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I just don't trust you. And so he's ready to fight against Israel. And well, I'm telling you, if Auntie Ella didn't write this, I wouldn't know exactly how it went down. But Auntie Ellen writes in Patriarchs and Prophets, Sister White says, she says that it was God through his spirit that began to work on the kings of Philistia. And that it was through the Holy Spirit that they were persuaded to encourage David not to go into battle. They actually said to King Achish, look at This same David, I know he's cool, he's been rolling with us for the last year and a half, but you know what? In the heat of battle, he might turn against us. He might find his brother and say, you know what? I'm not going to fight against big brother. I'm not going to fight against dad. I'm not going to fight against my cousins or my neighbors and turn against us. And David and his men will be able to hurt us more than the Israelite army because they're in our ranks. Send that man back home. This is God. Now, see, if I was God, and you better be so glad I'm not God, because, you know, I'm old school sometimes. I'm like, the Lord don't bless ugly. That's what I am, right? If I had called David out of obscurity, I plucked him out of being a little old shepherd at some Arco gas station, told him he was going to be king, told him I was going to bless his loins and his seed and all that other stuff, and he's going to turn against me? Oh, you're going to die. But no, here's God still trying to work it out. David, I know you're kicking and screaming, but David, you really don't know better. You can trust me. God's still trying to work it out. That family is justification. That is God not counting our sins against us. Do you hear me? He doesn't count our sins against us. Let's go to Psalms chapter 32. Listen to what David has to write. Psalms chapter 32. Listen to what David has to say on this subject. Listen to what the word tells us in Psalms chapter 32. David is writing verse 1, blessed or happy is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. That's justification. God said, I'm going to save you, boy, because you ain't going to beat me. You were only good because I was in you. Isn't that what we're learning in Sabbath school? You only good because I'm in you. You ain't got no good on you. That rock was about to miss Goliath if I didn't get in the way. I had to guide that rock to knock him out. It wasn't you. You ain't got no skills. Same with the lion and the bear. I was in you, boy. And he justifies him. He counts David as not guilty. So the kings of Philistia send David home. And as David is going back home, pouting, believe it or not, pouting, he finds the town in which he was given in Philistia, was called Ziklag. He finds it destroyed. His wives, his children, his men's wives and children are all gone. The Amalekites had come in and had raided this town. They basically were getting David back for what he had been doing to everybody else. So as soon as David and his men turned their back, they came in and they took everything. And the Bible says that David began to cry and his men began to cry. They began to wear themselves out. Crying and crying. Go to chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. Chapter 30 of verse Samuel. Verse 6. Chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. Verse 6. It said David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. They were going to kill David now. Why? We're in this mess because of you. Each one was bitter in the spirit because of the sons, because of their sons and daughters. But David found what? Strength and the Lord his God. There was something about seeing the town in flames, something about seeing the misery and grief that began to work on David. David became convicted. This is the sanctifying part. David began to be cleansed. He began to be convinced that God's way has always been the right way, the best way. Maybe God knows what he's talking about after all. Maybe I should have always trusted him and not trusted in my own ways or leaned to my own understanding. There was something happening in David. This old rebellious little rugrat who was willing to fight against God now finds his strength in the Lord. Let me tell you something. I don't care how far you feel you are from God. You're not too far that his love can't reach you. That his sentence and pronouncement of innocence can't reach you. That his ability to cleanse you right now. It can happen right now. Oh, pastor, but you don't know me. Man, I've been a thug all my life. All I know is thug living. That's all I know. You can't be worse than David. Not in this moment. And we haven't even gotten to the Bathsheba part. You can't be worse than David. Pastor, you don't know. I've been living with this guy for like 5 years now. And I know I could be, but I just can't do it. And you couldn't possibly love me right now. You need me to get out of this sin before you love me, right? Nope. He'll love you while you're drowning in your own blood. Why would you run away? Why would you close out the one God who will accept you no matter what you've done? No matter how much you rebel, he's the only one that will not judge. I neither judge you, woman, or accuse you. That's God. That's justification. So David finds his strength in the Lord. Listen to what happens. Listen to what happens in verse 8. Verse 8 says, and David inquired of the Lord. I love that. David then begins to pray. He might not have prayed for the last year and a half, but he starts praying now. Lord, I've made a mess of things. What shall I do? What can I do? And guess what? God answers. Isn't that great? Good man, if God was like me, I would give him all kind of like hoops to like jump through, you know? Oh, you gonna talk to me now? Oh, now you know my name? I thought I used to be on your speed dial. Now you gonna call? That's how we are, right? Oh, now, and we project that on God. We think God is the same way. God is, I mean, he's ready. He's just like, if they call me, I am running. I am so there. David calls him. Yes, David. Yes. What can I do for you? What would you like me to do for you? What? Done. I got it. Yep, go for it. You'll get everything back you've lost. Everything, Father. Everything, son. Everything that you've lost, I will restore to you. Now you go get your stuff back. Go get your wife back. Go get your kids back. Go get them, boy. That's my boy. Go get them. And the Bible says that David finds those that took his children and his men's children, and they get back, check this out, everything that they had lost, they get it back. They are restored of everything that they lost. See, that's what, oh man, I'm telling you, that whole sanctification part is a beautiful thing. Can I put down the illustration like this? Justification is, you know how when your account is overdrawn? Yeah, you don't know that. Maybe only I know that kind of stuff. When your account is overdrawn, I remember when I first hooked up with Bank of America and it was on the line, and this was a long time ago. It don't happen anymore. Long time ago, 2 weeks ago. And really a long time ago. And I remember I used to think that as I would make purchases, I could call in and they would tell me how much money I had in my account. But see, Bank of America, I'm probably all banks. I should be on BOFA. But they tell you how much you have in your account. I'm like, wow, I have that much in my account. I just slid my card across this register and I purchased this and I purchased that, and they're still saying I have $800 in there. Oh, this is good. I have $800. I can spend more money. But they didn't tell me that some purchases take a while to actually count against your account. So one day I'm like $800. The next day you have -$800. What? And I called it. I said, "What's going on? I thought that as soon as I purchased with the debit card, it came out of my account instantly." Well, sometimes it does, sir. And then sometimes we have to wait on the merchant that has to do this and verify that, and we have to verify their verification. And then after all the verification, it then counts against you. I'm like, "Okay, well, this is not fair. I didn't know any better." And I remember when I talked to the manager, you have to go up, baby. That's something you don't know that. You gotta talk to the higher up. Say, "Let me speak to your manager." And the manager said, "Sir, I understand. I know you're new to this, and check this out. Listen, I'm going to wipe it clean. It's going to be as if you never went into the negative. There'll be no more fees attached to the account. Don't worry. That's what God does when he justifies us. He brings us back. He takes away the negative. He brings us back to life as if we had never sinned before in our lives at that moment." But then the sanctification part gets even better. He adopts wraps us, he cleanses us, he puts money in the account. Hello. Not only does he take away the negative balance, he puts money in your account. That's what I love about it. David, I forgive you of the negative balance, you hard-headed boy, and now I'm going to put something in your account. He restores David, the Bible says, he restores David of everything he lost, and then he throws in some extra.
Hallelujah.
He gives him more, because after they took care of the enemy army, wasn't like the enemy army was going to do anything with that new HD TV, right? Might as well take it. It's not like they're going to be using this wallet with the cash in it anymore. We might as well take it. So God gave them more. He overblessed them. Not only did he bring them back to where they were before they messed up, he put an extra in the account. And that's what sanctification does. You weren't even a child of God. Now you have been adopted into his family. The devil took you away. The devil said, they're my kids. These are my babies. And God says, nope, I'm buying them back. I'm redeeming them. They're going to be my babies again. That's the way they were designed to be. But then something special happens, and this is the part I call glorification, as we begin to close. This is what happens. God puts the money in your account, but it really does you no good until you get to spend it, right? Glorification is spending the money God deposited into your account. It is living out what the Spirit has implanted within your life. It makes no sense for you to receive a spiritual deposit, to receive the Holy Spirit, if you don't live by the Spirit. Who cares if God put $1 million in your account if you never spend a dime of it? You would die a millionaire, having never spent money on those that were in need or taking care of your own needs. It is all for naught if you don't take it to the next level. So David, you know what David does? When David receives all this stuff, he goes back to some of his soldiers that did not go into battle with him because they were too tired, and he gives them the same reward as those who went into battle.
Hallelujah.
And those who went into battle said, that's not fair, David. They didn't fight. They don't deserve anything. In fact, you should give their wives to us. David said, no. Everyone's going to receive a gift on this one. I received a gift. They're going to receive a gift. And David didn't just stop there. David went a step further. He then began to send out gifts to other people because he wanted them to know that God is good. See, glorification is saying, Lord, I'm going to spend the money that's in the account. I just can't keep it to myself. I can't just take the piece from you. I got to give the piece as well. I'm not just going to accept your compassion and keep it in the account. I'm going to be compassionate as well. I'm not just going to receive your love, Lord. I'm going to spend that love by giving it to others. I want to, Lord, glorify you here on earth right now. You don't believe me? Listen to the story of Naaman. He was justified. He was an enemy of God, and God forgave him for being an enemy. Then God cleansed him, washed him in those muddy waters of Jordan. Something happened to Naaman while he was being dipped, while he was being baptized. And then he came out and said, listen, I can't pay your money. Your God wouldn't accept my money. It's a free gift he's given me. But Elisha, can I worship him? Can I serve him? Can I follow him? Can I be his best friend? Elisha says, great. You don't believe that story? Listen to the story of the tax collector, Zacchaeus, in chapter 19 of Luke. He was a tax collector, notorious sinner. He was living his life on the edge, didn't want to follow God at all. But he heard about somebody. He heard about somebody that would not count his sins against him. He wanted to see Jesus. He just wanted to see the man who could just justify him. So he decided he would make his way out there, and he saw Christ, and Christ said, Zacchaeus, boy, I am going to your house today. I'm going to sanctify you, Zacchaeus. I'm going to set you apart. People thought you were a sinner, but you know what? I've called you righteous right now. I'm going to your house. Somewhere in between eating the big franks and the scallops, Zacchaeus stands up at the dinner table and says, listen, here and now, I give half of my possessions away. I sell it and give it to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay them back 4 times the amount. That's Zacchaeus glorified. That's Zacchaeus glorified. Living it out, family. And do you know there's story upon story upon story in Scripture? These same occurrences. People that have been justified, people that have been sanctified, and people that we're willing to be glorified on this end. Stop making excuses. Oh, I'll be there when Christ comes again. No, be there now. Hallelujah. Be there now. Oh, it's going to be good when he comes again. Oh, if you agree with it, why not now? If that's who you're going to be, why not start now? Life eternal is that we know him right now. Don't you wait. I'm going to close on this, family. The reason why you don't want it, you don't think it's actually better. You don't trust him. Trust the designer. You remember we talked about HD, God's design in HD? We said that, the justification part is God hooking you up with the television, but it wouldn't make any sense if he didn't provide you the signal, the HD signal, all right? HD TV without the signal is no good, right? The glorification part, family, is actually watching the television. What if you had the TV, had the signal, but never turned it on? Could you go to your friends and say, man, that TV is 52 inches, dog? It would be a frame on the wall. Turn it on. Turn it on. Return back to the factory settings. God designed you to be more than what you are. Let his spirit reign inside of you and let his spirit live out in you. You are a son and daughter of God. You need to know it. You need to know it. Trust your God. He's the creator. He knows what works. Can we do that, family? Don't do the OJ thing. OJ got set free and then wants to write a book that if he did do it, this is what he would have done. That's foolishness. It's a dog returning to its vomit. Foolishness. You've been set free. You've been adopted into the family of God. And John says, if you continue in your sins, all you've proven that you never even knew him. You never even knew God. You never really believed that he forgave you of your sins. You never believed it. You'll be like the men and women in Matthew 7 and who say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles. Don't we deserve this? And Jesus says, you never knew me. And I never knew you because you wouldn't have come to me with all that work stuff. You would have said, Lord, but didn't you set me free? Lord, didn't you love me through the tough times? Lord, didn't you call me holy? And Lord, didn't your spirit live inside of me? There's someone here today that wants to say right now, Lord, Lord, right now, I want you to be glorified. You've justified me. I trust you now. And you've been sanctifying me. I've been fighting you. But Lord, I want to get past that little bathwater. I'm done with it. I'm ready to move on. I'm going to get past the baby food. I want the real stuff. I want to be glorified. Give me that glory that Christ had. Even before the cross, give it to me. I know I'll get the rest of it when you come again, but give me the portion I can handle right now. Let my beauty be perfect. Live in me. If that's your decision, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, praise God. You're going to trust him, aren't you? You're going to trust him more than you trust the weed. Trust him more than you trust your temper. Trust him more than you trust your bank account. Trust him more than all of your entertainment. You're going to trust that God can fill you. He can give you the water, as Pastor Mark said last night. If you drink it, you'll never thirst again. That if you find yourself at a tree of decision, a tree of choice, and the serpent tells you to be what you already are, you can say, serpent, you're too late. I already know. I look good. I'm in God's image. I already have peace. You can't offer me anything. I have everything I need. Praise God. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for hearing our plea, our prayer. We thank you so much for justifying us calling the guilty innocent. We thank you for sanctifying us, cleansing us of all the things that have defiled us, washing us in that dirty bathwater. Father, we thank you for doing the stuff that sometimes is a bit humiliating and embarrassing. We experience shame and doubt, but Father, we thank you for that process, that adoption, that calling, that election. We thank you for it. So Father, right now we want to move to the next level. We want to move to the next level. We know that there'll be times in our life that we'll have to be sanctified some more. We're going to need to be cleansed some more. We know that. It doesn't mean that we're perfect right now, but Father, we are on the path to perfect beauty. We are on the path that returns us back to the factory settings in the Garden of Eden. We are going back to the ideal. We want to be in the image we were created to be. Father, glorify us now as you glorified your Son before. Father, as Calvary's weight before us, as crosses are placed on our backs, as we have trials that we have to get through, as there have been deaths in our family and financial problems all around us, Father, even in the mess and the muck and the mire, glorify us that we may glorify you. Father, may the fruits of the Spirit be seen. Father, may we put on the necklace of joy. May we put on the earrings of love. May we put on the bracelets of patience. Father, may we begin to adorn ourselves with those things that beautify. Because your Spirit lives in us. We invite your Holy Spirit right now to fill our hearts, fill our lives. In Jesus' name, let the redeemed say, amen, amen and amen, amen. You may be seated. Isn't it good to trust in the Lord? Tis so sweet. Tis so sweet. Amen. Amen.